fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry Moore here. The last day of May, Tuesday, May 31st, 2022. We have with us Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We have Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. His book's for sale at amazon.com. Leon's held over from First Hour. And good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Well, sir, I have your most recent, I think it's the most recent article here in front of me that was published the 27th, which would have been last Friday. The title of it is Russian or Chinese Nihilism in the Coming War Order, Part 2. You got a quote from, I'm not good at saying these Chinese names, Hu Bintao, I guess it is, and then General Chi Ho Tan, Secret Speech, was published at my website. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not read Jeff's article from the May 27th, this is your homework assignment. This is very, very serious homework assignment. You need to read Jeff Nyquist's article published May 27th, 2022. Part 2. Jeff's warnings these past 36 years of what's coming are very, very near. What's coming is very near. The warning, to give you a heads up, has to do with Chinese military invasion, not social invasion, not economic invasion or cultural, military invasion of the United States to take place between now, more towards the end of June, and the end, and the 1st of November. Is that fairly accurate, Jeff?
No, I don't think it's going to take place at the end of June. June is when they finish, you know, if you study the 56-minute talk of Chiao Chen, you're gonna see that they're just going to be finishing retrofitting their ro-ro ships.
Row, I know what row means, but tell our listeners what
row
means.
Roll-off ships for, they have to retrofit them so they can hold tanks and self-propelled artillery and stuff like that.
Right, really heavy equipment.
For that purpose. The, you know, the thing is that it's about China starting the final war. I'm working on a piece now. I was on Steve Bannon's show on Saturday. And they had a Navy captain on there. He thinks that it means that there's going to be a conventional invasion of Taiwan. And that's what they're setting up to do. And that's all they're doing, really. And it's up to us whether we defend Taiwan or not. I don't think that they would call it the final war. And I don't, if that was the case, now maybe he's right. But I'm working on a piece now explaining, you know, if you look at Chiao Chen's speech, Chiao Chen says, we're going to make it look like we're going for Taiwan, but we're going for America.
Well,
and he says it's not just that we're going after aircraft carriers and satellites. You know, he basically says we want to conquer the United States.
Right, right.
Stanislav Lunev told me their plan was that he heard about it in early 92 after the fall of the Soviet Union at a meeting of Russian generals, that was their plan, to conquer the United States, Canada, and Alaska. Russia would get Alaska and parts of Canada. And now if you look at it, invading Taiwan today would be the equivalent of what we did, what we proposed to do in Operation Olympic, an opposed amphibious invasion of Japan when Japan was ready. Right, that we were gonna need blimp hangers to hold all the bodies because it was gonna be so bloody. This makes the Battle of Normandy look like nothing in terms of the scale of the destruction and the death and everything that we're talking about.
Right, right.
Taiwan has 1.6 million reserves. Got 170,000 standing army, but 1.6 million reserves. Those reserves will be mobilized before they get to an invasion because the invasion preparations are so intensive that they would give themselves away. Like right now, this intelligence coming out gives everybody a lot of chance to do this. And the other thing is that you have to understand that their strategy, and this is the strategy of the Soviet Union too in the Cold War, was you hit America first because there's your nuclear umbrella. They can't win a conventional war. Their combat units, they don't train to win a conventional war. This is what Lunev emphasized. He said, I trained my entire career for one kind of war only, world all-arms nuclear war. And the thing that I, you know, found in discussing this on Bannon with this captain, Fennell, was that when I said, look, they have this idea of nuclear war and indirection, and that it's a nuclear war, but he took it to mean, well, you know, yeah, if there's a nuclear war, but why did they build this large conventional navy? No, they're going to do a conventional invade. It's like as if it's an either or, as if they either use their nuclear weapons and they don't use their conventional weapons, or they use their conventional weapons and not their nuclear. It's like there's this somehow this artificial division line. And it's, no, it's not like that at all. They use both together. But you see, people don't understand that, you know, they think, oh, a nuclear war, it'll contaminate everything. No, their hydrogen bombs are clean. You can use them. In fact, if you use them with only air bursting, you're not going to have any fallout of any meaningful significance at all. You wouldn't know the difference between the before the war or after the war. It isn't going to kill all the whales and the fishies. And even if they do air ground bursting in certain places, there will be desertification downwind of those places. But that's, you know, that fallout goes away in 13 to 18 days. It's not the end of the world. Sorry to disappoint you. And if you were expecting the end of the world, you really had false expectations. They sold you a bill of goods. You know, you don't see it's an excuse. Like, honey, I don't have to mow the lawn because it's going to rain. Right? Well, you're going to have to do the work. You're going to have to mow the lawn because guess what? It's not raining. This stuff isn't the end of the world. But this is the propaganda that Americans have swallowed
They have. Jeff, it makes me wonder, did Captain Fennell actually read the transcript of the 6 minutes? Do you know?
I think he said he had not had a chance to study the thing. But,
okay. Well, that makes sense, because something I want to point out for our listeners, these government officials having this discussion, they mention crossing the ocean. Now, surely high-level Chinese government officials know the difference between the Taiwan Straits and Formosa Straits, I guess what they're called, the Formosa Straits, and crossing the ocean. It's two entirely different things, isn't it?
Well, they talked about a further patrol, and they talked about the Taiwan direction, which if you point in the direction of Taiwan, it's east, and that's the direction of the United States. They did mention landing on the island. I'm not sure, you know, in the Chinese language exactly how that translates, but there was not the statement. It was interesting the way they talked about it. They talked about reuniting China. Now, China defeated the United States, Taiwan would automatically reunite with them, whether they touch Taiwan at all. They could tell Taiwan, we're not touching you, hold still. If you move, we're going to nuke you. And then after they won the war with us, they would be automatically reunited. There'd be no question if they actually were able to do that. And then people think that I was saying they're going to make beach landings in California. They don't have the ability to do amphibious invasion that far away. I never said it was an amphibious invasion of California. They do have long-range amphibious transports. They could land a division, and they could land another division with the air mobile carriers, the assault carriers that they have. But really, I talked about Operation Weserabung. Germany did not amphibiously invade Norway in the sense that we invaded Normandy. And that was pretty far away. Germans weren't just crossing the English Channel. Look at a map. The central and upper coast of Norway, which was also invaded, they invaded up and down the Norwegian coast. That was invaded by the Germans, and they did have some landing craft, but it was mostly just merchant ships. And the thing that's important to keep in mind is that the Chinese ships are docking at U.S. ports all the time.
Right, right.
Those ships, the personnel on those ships could have the arms needed to take control of a port if you had enough people on those ships. And it wouldn't be the case that if they had a fleet of 2,000 merchant ships, they wouldn't come in a big, you know, people said, they'd be noticed if they had this big. No, they would come like the Norway operation in small groups. Oh, not small groups even, they would come as single ships, and they would be flagged. They wouldn't be flagged as Chinese ships. Most of the Chinese merchant fleet probably is not flagged Chinese. But they could come either after or before nuclear strikes or exactly timed with nuclear strikes. There's a number of different ways you can do it. If you wanted to invade
Wouldn't the German high command have loved to have had free trade zones in Norway before their invasion, where they could secretly fill up with whatever they wanted to fill up with?
Well, they were trading with Norway. Norway didn't know it was at war when the German ships came into their ports and captured them. You know, they did know in the case of Oslo Fjord, because the Germans knew that fjord was guarded by coastal guns that they had to knock out with warships. But the other ports in Norway, it was a surprise, the taking of airfields. I mean, it was this was a blitzkrieg, and so the invasion was taking place before they even knew they were at war with Germany. And they didn't, you know, the question was, who's invading us, the British or the Germans? Because there was the Norwegians were expecting one or the other, you know, because the British and the French had a plan to invade Norway, southern Sweden at the time, and the part of the reason for the German invasion was to preempt the British and French invasion.
No, I was trying to draw an analogy here. Would not the German high command have loved to have had free trade zones in the interior of Norway prior to the invasion to fill up whatever they chose to? Because that's what the Chinese have here already. They have free trade zones.
And the significance of filling up with whatever, what does that have to do with an invasion? I don't understand. In the interior of Norway? What do you mean?
Well, the analogy is, if the German high command could have done that, they would have loved to, but the Chinese already have. They have free trade zones in the United States filled up with whatever we don't know what's there. Soldiers, equipment, guns, well, ammunition.
The Germans did have a trade agreement with Norway. They had warehouses filled with guns and uniforms already set up.
Well, there we go. Okay, that was information we didn't have.
I mean, look, the Chinese, and this is what Colonel Stanislav Lunev told me. He said, look, Operation Visarebung is the model. And I said, well, what do you, explain in more detail? And one of the things you talked about, the Brandenburg Regiment, and you could look it up. It's a commando formations of the Abwehr. And these were guys that could come in. They were like, I guess you could say, like Navy SEALs or whatever, but they could enter a place. You know, they could come as civilians. They could pick up their guns and their uniforms. They were experts at urban warfare. They were experts at taking over airfields and ports and at attacking certain kinds of facilities. So those units, the Brandenburg Regiment, was used and broken up, I think, into battalions when they used it in Norway. But for these very special kind of things, seize, take an airfield here, take a special facility there, anything to help them open up the country from the inside.
Well, let's bring this forward to right now. In 2022, Chinese has, I don't know how many, free trade zones in the United States. The closest one to me is in Metro Kansas City. I have very strong beliefs that these free trade zones have been and are being used by the Chinese for the purposes of conquering and colonizing the United States. What do you think, sir?
Well, everything they do. Look, all of Chinese economic activity is an adjunct to their military, future anticipated military activity, whether it's stealing germs out of our labs or taking, there is no Chinese nuclear physics, I'm told. Nuclear physics is entirely an invention of the West. And the Chinese have basically just, infiltrated it, to get the knowledge they need to have a nuclear arms industry. So that's what they're doing. Everything is for the war, for the future war.
Roger that. Jeff and Liam, we got a caller on hold. Jeff in Massachusetts. Good morning, Jeff. Jeff in Massachusetts, your turn.
Oh, yeah, right here, John.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so John, here's my question to Jeff. Jeff, what would happen to America if we truly lost World War III, or if we had a unilateral surrender? What would happen to the American citizens? That's question number one. Question number two, there was a book written a long time ago called Escape from New York, which is a novelization of the movie, and it's very, very dark. If we win World War III, would we become a police state similar to the novel Escape from New York, where it just becomes a complete police state? Whether we win World War III, lose World War III, or whether it's a stalemate, what do you think, Jeff?
Well, if you read this Chi Hao Chen speech, Chi Hao Chen says that they are going to exterminate the people living in the lower 48 states. And basically, they're going to make a second China here. They're going to move hundreds of millions of Chinese into this continent. And that's what he says in the speech. So that's what, if you take that speech. Now, I've understood there's other Chinese sources say the same thing.
Yes.
Hold that thought, Jeff. We have a break. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadreprecious metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. You want to protect your car, your spouse's car, the car of that youngster that's off at college, and get a $50 discount on each individual piece of equipment. Well, you do that at my website because I've been grandfathered in with a $50 discount on each piece of equipment at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog, his books for sale at amazon.com. Jeff, before we get back to responding to Jeff from Massachusetts, tell people how they can subscribe to your blog there, please.
There's a PayPal button underneath the articles or videos, and that's how you can support the site.
Okay, well, we hope people will do that. You were responding to Jeff when you got interrupted by the bricks, or anything else for Jeff?
Yeah, well, the second part of his question is if we won a war against China, would we be a police state? And no, we would not. Look, you're gonna put guns in on Americans' hands, and you're going to take their liberty away? No, that's not going to happen.
All right. Jeff, anything else while you're still there? Jeff,
as a wrap-up, I recommend that you read the book Escape from New York. It's on PDF. And in the book Escape from New York, you have a nationalized police force that have all the guns. There's no juries, and World War III is ongoing according to the book. and the president has a clean nuclear weapon that could turn the tide of World War III, and America's a total police state. So watch out for a national police force if the Democrats try to push for it. Thank you very much, men, and do have a good one. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Well, Jeff, I don't know if you're aware of Leon, but the last couple of days, Justin Trudeau up in Canada, the Prime Minister of Canada, has made it illegal to sell any pistols in the state of, in the country of Canada, and nobody except law enforcement can buy a pistol in the country of Canada anymore, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the United States was founded on an attempted gun grab. That was when General Gage went out in of Boston to go take people's guns away, and the militia mobilized against him. I'm in Michigan, the state of Michigan. It's written in the Constitution that the people have the right to bear arms, and that the citizens have the right to own their own weapons. So, and it's actually written into the U.S. Constitution, but not, it's so explicit in the Michigan Constitution, you can't even deny it. So, the idea that you're going to be able to overturn, you have to overturn the Constitution to do that. And then this isn't the United States anymore. It's something else. And if we're defeated from within like that, the Chinese will exterminate us. So if you give up your rights there, the Chinese are going to kill you. If they take all the firearms away from us, we will lose the war.
And that includes the Chinese will also murder ethnic Chinese in this country because they feel that they're non-redeemable, don't they?
Well, Tiao Chen talks about how the Chinese who've been corrupted by living in a free country are probably not amenable to their system. So they would probably, you know, he left it a little wiggle room there, but he said probably they have to be gotten rid of. And the thing is, look, people said, oh, well, all we need is our rifles. We can defend ourselves. You know, my thing is, yeah, people think that we don't need an army or a navy to survive. We could survive with our rifles. That may be true if they collapse in the middle of the invasion. But the rifles, people with their own rifles, it's a very important component of the national defense. It isn't all in all sufficient. We do need other weapons. But it's extremely important that the people have their own arms.
That's right. That's right. Well, I hope people will pay heed that if they have a rifle, that they will become more competent with it, get spare parts for that rifle, and most important of all, of course, get training with that rifle, combat training, tactical training. Simply owning a rifle is not enough by itself, is it, Jeff?
No, I mean, you need to know how to use it. I think a lot of people are going to get trained up on their rifles pretty fast. If a war starts and the country's invaded, I think people are going to get interested. What's really alarming is the government trying to inhibit the production of ammunition and to make it prohibitively costly to buy ammunition. That's really alarming to me.
It is, and it should be alarming. It should be disturbing.
To give people an idea, you know, in 1999, when Putin was first prime minister, they held a kind of military meeting or conference. And one of the generals, this was in November of 1999, one of the generals complained that Americans were allowed to own firearms, and they had to change that. Now, that was a very peculiar thing for a Russian general to complain about. Of course, Russia would only be involved in invading Alaska in a future world war. But why is a Russian general care about whether Americans can own firearms? It was rather peculiar to me.
It's a pretty short list of why he would be concerned, to say the least.
Right. That's right.
We have a 5-minute break. Call number is 512-248-8255.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
But if we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age, made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of perverted science.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. Doing another private consultation today, did another one over the weekend. I'm doing more private consultations than ever, quite frankly, helping people get the information, get the clarity, have the laser focus they need to make major decisions. That's what private consultations are all about. Interesting real estate listings at my website. If you want to live in my neighborhood, there's some interesting real estate listings. In Texas and so forth, you might want to check those out. And, of course, energy cleaners. We're always playing catch-up because the orders keep coming in more quickly than I can get caught up. But I took delivery of 21 units over the weekend from Tom, and we'll be getting those back orders caught up and shipping more energy cleaners to Australia and Canada and, of course, the United States as well, helping people get past the issues with arthritis pain and get the best night's sleep they've had in decades. Details on the energy cleaners, the mattress pads that go with them at my website at thelibertyman.com. You can place your order online or using my toll-free order line. That's 800-592-9543. This is the Tuesday Morning Roundtable with Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer, and Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. His book for sale at amazon.com. Jeff, you've authored three books on your own and three more books you co-authored regarding the international commerce conspiracy, haven't you, sir?
Yeah, something like that. I've got a book in Portuguese that is not out in English yet.
Well, I hope it's out soon. It's been several years, hasn't it?
No, this book just came out last September, I think.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's called The Lies We Believe in Portuguese. But I just haven't had the chance to pull it together in the English version. It's it's something of an ordeal to publish a book, self-publish a book.
It is. It is. It's become a lot better than when I published my book back in the late 80s, but it's still an awful lot of work, isn't it?
Well, the thing is I can't keep up with what's happening now, so I wish I had more leisure. I've got a lot of things that are pressing down on me at the moment.
I bet you do. Well, Jeff, the 56 Minutes leaked tape, there have been some men and women who have died as a consequence of leaking this, haven't there?
Yes, I should say that the people, it's the Luda Network, and Luda is a Chinese diaspora NICCP man who has been working very hard to try to combat the Communist Party of China from within the Chinese community here and elsewhere. And he's connected. He's a very intelligent, a brilliant person who knows and understands the CCP. And, of course, because he operates in the Chinese language largely, he's done, I think he's done interviews in English, but it's with translators. And Dr. Li Mengyan, who works with him, she has been passing information to me. They have lots of intelligence aside from the 56 Minutes. And they know a war is coming, and they want to stop it, and they want to stop the Chinese Communist Party from its tyranny of the Chinese people. So it's important to know that the people that are trying to warn us are doing a heroic thing. They are warning America about China, and they're trying to stop the Communist Party of China. And so, you know, it's like we do have an ally here, which is the Chinese people who want to be free, who oppose communism. And they are the ones that are basically giving us these warnings.
Well, of course, we're going to be looking for updates, if and when they come, on the 56 Minutes. Going back to the timeline, they didn't give an exact date.
I can give you an update of intelligence I got over the weekend.
Well, please.
The Chinese People's Liberation Army, and that means the Army Navy, the Rocket Forces, the Air Force, and so on, they have been working out code words for the beginning of the war for the attack. And the code words involve the things that different military groups, like elements of the Rocket Forces, elements of the Navy, will have as a code word that when they hear it broadcasted, you know, like before Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, there was East Wind Rain, a weather report. So when the weather report East Wind Rain was broadcast, that was the signal the war had begun, basically. So they're working on those signals, and the war is to begin with and those signals are for the attacking the United States Navy, to show you that this isn't just about Taiwan.
All right. Well, that's a very important update. Now, we don't know if and when more updates will be coming in, but we hope there'll be more coming in, don't we?
Well, there will be. I mean, already people involved in smuggling that 56-minute tape out of China are dead. And by the way, they didn't just kill the people who had done this. They were killing everybody that they could possibly suspect. You know, if you arrest someone and torture them, you don't put them back in their job afterwards. You just kill them.
Well, they're not, as the old saying goes, take no prisoners. The communist Chinese are absolutely brutal and hardcore when it comes to these matters, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it is so important to them to maintain secrecy of their operation that they want to make sure that anybody who is working against them within their system is caught and dies. So they're, you know, Dr. Li Meng and Professor Luda are, you know, basically risking their lives because they've been threatened. By the way, the CCP has threatened them with death. And they have gotten, you know, assassins lined up to kill them. I mean, this is what they have basically said: we're going to kill you now for doing this. And it's no joke.
Oh, no. No, they're deadly serious. Absolutely deadly serious, aren't they?
They are serious. And it's the thing is that the people, Americans, need to understand, if you're, and this is true with the Russians, if you're a Russian national and you live here, if you're a Chinese national, they think they own you. The special services of those countries think they own you. And that's what people don't understand. And they will try to blackmail you. They will threaten you. They will threaten your family. And they will kill Americans, too.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Well, the timeline we have is before the 1st of November. That's about as close as it gets, isn't it?
Well, it's, you know, that there's 2 months of the year that are ideal in terms of weather conditions for invading Taiwan. Those 2 months are April and October. And November 1st is the, we're going to do it by this date. Now, they could do it, you know, whenever they're ready. I did a calculation on the, they talked about 588 rail cars associated with the Ro-Ro ships. If you take the tonnage of the Ro-Ro ships with the carrying capacity of the cars, it would take another 45 days to make the trips on the rail cars necessary to fill the Ro-Ro ships. You know, given the weight of carriage of a... I think the Chinese railroad cars can carry more tonnage than American, but I'm not sure. I know they some of their rail gauges, like the Soviet wide gauge, but I don't know if that's true in that part of China or not. But I calculated according to our carrying tonnage of rail cars, it would take 48 days. Well, give or take, maybe 45. You know, it's very funny that it's a similar number. That puts you 90 days out. That puts you in the middle of August, right? But there's other tasks they undoubtedly have to prepare for, to prepare for war. So, you know, their preparations are going to take additional months, maybe 4 months before they're actually ready. So, you know, we're getting an advance warning here, and hopefully the United States will take actions that will defend us or cause them to back down from their war preparations. I mean, there is a sense in which mobilization is war. Well, if they're starting to mobilize, why aren't we? I don't understand.
Well, the commander in chief, his first political campaign was paid for by the communist Chinese when he ran for Senate out of Delaware so many decades ago.
Yeah, it was actually Armin Hammer was a Soviet agent. Armin Hammer helped put Al Gore Sr. and Jr. in the U.S. Senate and helped put Biden in the United States Senate. And Edward J. Epstein published the Hammer file, and there's no doubt that Hammer was a Soviet agent. And so the politicians he supported, well, you're going to have to come to your own conclusion there.
Well, my conclusion is Joe Biden has been bought and paid for by the communists since day one when it came to his political career.
Yeah, it's an obvious thought, and then when you see that he's supported by the Council for a Livable World, as pointed out by Trevor Loudon, the Council for a Political World is a communist front, and it's been just about the biggest supporter of Mr. Biden throughout his career. So it's, why are you supported by a communist front? Why were you leveraging the United States Senate by arm and hammer? And you look at all of the communists that, that have supported this man in his career, and you think, well, why would they support him? You know, that doesn't make any sense unless he's somehow their guy.
Well, obviously he's their guy. And being a commander-in-chief, he has a lot of latitude in terms of being able to affect the national defense, doesn't he, sir?
Yeah, and the other problem is we have people from both political parties that are that have been elected through the money of corporations that are doing business in China or that have relationships in former communist countries. And that is extremely, you know, I know these corporations will say, look, the Chinese are wonderful people. We're doing business with them. Look, we're making money. It's like, I don't care. They're your enemy. Don't you understand? It's like, are you stupid? Do you know they're in business with you. Yeah, you're making money. Don't you understand? You're damaging your country. They're getting into us this way. They're influencing our politics. They're influencing our businessmen. This is dangerous. We should have never gone down this road.
We should never have, but it's too late to say we never should have. What would you like to see the change in terms of national defense right now, if you had the ability to do so, Jeff?
Well, Peter Pry is saying, and he's a military advisor to Congress, especially on nuclear war matters, and he is saying, look, Peter is saying, listen, we need to move 2,000 nuclear weapons onto our fleet, onto the U.S. Navy. We need the Navy to be on par, because if we end up in a nuclear war, we want to make sure that these ships can fight back. Because Peter knows nuclear war is not just some fantasy. It's a very real thing that can happen. And I'm sorry, it's not the end of the world. The environment's not going to collapse. You're not going to all die of radiation. That's nonsense. Nuclear war could be fought tomorrow, and you'd open your window and watch the sun come up, and you're all going to be alive. You know, and if you're not ready for it, it'll be to your regret. You know, because nuclear weapons, primarily in a, you know, if they're smart, they don't aim the nuclear weapons at civilians. I mean, does when an invasion goes on, do the tanks go right at the people's houses? You know, no, the tanks fight the other tanks. The tanks are trying to get control. Nuclear weapons are meant to be used on other nuclear weapons and military targets, fleet bases, Air Force bases, nuclear weapon storage areas, missile bases, you know, submarine bunkers, that kind of thing. That's what nuclear weapons are used on. They're very effective at those kind of targets. And there's tactical nuclear weapons to be used against troops in the field. You can turn your weapons on the city. Sure, you can do that. We did it at Hiroshima and Nagasaki in World War II. That's the phase that you do that in, the phase when you want the other side to surrender. Here, we're going to take out your cities. You better give up.
Well, we are the only country that's ever used nuclear weapons in a modern age against civilians or against anybody, aren't we?
Well, yes, because we're the only ones that had nuclear weapons when a world war was going on. But you can bet the Russians and Chinese would be even more ruthless. I mean, look at the Russian use of conventional weapons on cities like Mariupol and Kharkiv. I mean, they are bombing. They've taken a good chunk of the city of Kharkiv has been leveled. The city of Mariupol is almost entirely leveled. So that's conventional ordnance. If they're willing to do that with that, you know, you got to rethink your idea of their willingness. They might look at a city like Chicago or New York and say, you know, this would be so economically damaging to America's war effort. We're taking those cities. We're just going to wipe them out. We're just going to level them. And look, you look at administrative centers, state capitals, Washington, D.C., they might want to take away our ability to basically run our country by attacking all the government centers.
All right.
And that's possible, too. You know, so attacking cities, yeah, that will happen. You know, all cities, no, they don't have enough nuclear weapons to knock down every city and take out all the weapons. as well. Take out all our bases.
Well, Jeff and Leon, I just got a note from Steve Van Noon. He'll join us at the top of the hour for a short period of time. I don't see the national leadership in the Pentagon doing what needs to be done. I mean, if they're obviously they're aware of what you are and with their G5 and so forth, G2 intelligence sections. But I'm not aware of anything of any substance to counter what's taking place in China. Are you, Jeff?
Well, I mean, if the largest country in the world is mobilizing for war against you, you need to mobilize.
Absolutely.
But they think it's just about Taiwan. I'm sure they're going to say, oh, well, they're just going to attack Taiwan. We don't need to mobilize America.
There's probably disagreement within the G2 sections, but that's consensus. Here's our break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Fix bayonets.
Leave Eden and Nicole Colgren. Wherefore many men have gone.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back visiting with Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer Jeff Nyquist. His website, jrnyquist.blog. Jeff, Is your next article already in the process of being drafted, sir?
Yeah, I'm writing a piece about about this discussion I had with Captain Fennell. He believes it's just a conventional invasion of Taiwan that the intelligence indicates. I'm laying out my argument for why it cannot. Well, if they're idiots, that would be. But really, they've got a doctrine. We've got other evidence showing that a much wider war is being, you know, planned and mobilized for by China. It's not just about Taiwan.
Now, a captain in the Navy is equivalent of a full-bird colonel in the U.S. Army, isn't it?
Yes.
Right. He's Navy ranks. They've never made sense to me, but that's the Navy being the Navy. So was this your first? In I'm sorry, Leon, but they don't make sense to me. I know you Navy guys, you understand it and it makes sense to you, but at least the Marine Corps didn't get caught up in all that Navy rank stuff. And a colonel in the Marine Corps is a colonel.
But in the Marine Corps, we say that's the deck, that's the bulkhead, that's the hatch, that's the overhead. We do use all the Navy terminology, whether we're on board ship or not.
You're speaking right. As a former Marine there, Jeff.
Right.
Leon, if you want to defend your service, you're welcome to.
I can jump in, but we have more important things to talk about right now.
We do. Well, I've been to the U.S. Naval Academy, and the history there is just phenomenal. The history of the U.S. Navy is wonderful and phenomenal, and the honor and service of the men and women in the Navy is just beyond compare. Well, we've got a top of the hour break coming up here soon, and Steve Benoon will be with us for maybe 10 or 15 minutes before he has to scoot on to his next project. Jeff, do you hold out any hope that our national command will be doing the right thing in the limited time we've?
I think they're already doing some things. Yeah, I think they're already doing some things. I think they started doing some things the right way back in March and April of 2020, actually.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's 2 years ago. So hopefully these things that they've done will be sufficient. Here's our top of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness. But there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else,
Seats are in short supply.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.